Sir, let me ask you a question, right? I'm prepared to engage you on this ferry thing. I know that a lot of people support it. Prime Minister Mia Motley supports the ferry idea. But this is my challenge with the ferry. You want it to be commercially viable because you appreciate that the air travel is not commercially viable, right? You fill a boat and you sail that boat to Trinidad and Tobago. How long does it take? Well, let's just sail it to Antigua. How long does it take to get there?
But the trip from
Barbados to Antigua.
From Barbados, you would traverse the other islands too on the way up to Antigua.
5 hours. 4 hours.
There are other islands. There's
4 days.
Four hours between Port of Spain and Scarborough.
Dennis is telling me it will take 4 days to get to Antigua.
Four days.
4 days.
You mean making stops at the other islands?
I guess, yeah.
That's what you mean. But remember, there are different types of ferries. There are fast ferries. And I mean, there are even bigger and better ferries.
But no, you see, I want you to walk with me through this process. So you're taking 4 days to steam from Barbados, or to sail from Barbados, because I don't need to steam no more, to sail from Barbados to Antigua, okay? Now, I go to Antigua fairly frequently, okay? So let's say you're telling me that if I leave Antigua on Monday, I would get Antigua on Thursday, right? Which means I can't do brass tacks on Tuesday. So you're sending me via Martinique and Guadeloupe and St. Lucia. You're sending me up the island chain time I get to Antigua, right? So I pay my money, $100 Barbados, 50 US, and I get to Antigua 4 days later, right? Now, in the meantime, that ferry has essentially been in use for the whole week. And what kind of revenue it has generated by the time it gets to Antigua? You with me?
I am reading you.
Right, and I'm saying to you that when you start to look at the commercial viability, you have to ask yourself a question. When you deploy an expensive boat like that, and ferries are not cheap, you have to be able to say, can that ferry pay for itself in the course of a week? And I'm saying to you, sir, I put it to you, that it will be difficult and challenging for a ferry to make back the money that it costs to pay the lease payments. If you're sailing me from Antigua to Barbados and it takes 4 days, because then you got to turn around and come right back down. Sir, I am not going to take it.
Yeah, but when you got a service, you mean you're going to use one ferry going up and down. But even
so, how much you buying?
Boats,
you're buying four?
Two boats. Huh?
You're buying four boats?
But no, but you're going to start with at least two. This way you're going to start with at least
sir,
two.
Sir, what do you think a ferry costs?
How much a ship costs? Huh?
Yeah, but the point is that planes are expensive as well. I mean, you're looking at $1 million or so on a plane.
You were looking at ferries that carry passengers and also cargo. Passengers and cargo. As I had told David Ellis, I work on a ship called the Starwood leaving Miami and going to Jamaica. It will stop in Bahamas during the night, then it go to Haiti. And then it spent 3 days in Jamaica. And it used to carry cargo.
How much passengers it used to carry?
It carried about 3,000.
Passengers.
That's what I'm telling you now. The Starwood carried about almost 3,000 passengers. And we had about well over 100.
And how long ago this was?
Huh?
How long ago this was?
1971.
How old Adam was then? Adam was about five.
It had a deck, and he used to carry also the containers.
Yeah.
Because when we are below, the deck was above us, and you would hear it rolling when they're going out, coming out in Kingston.
My parents came back to Barbados from England in 1967, and to the best of my knowledge, it took them the better part of 6 weeks to sail from London to Barbados on a boat. The point is that I don't believe that in 2018, a boat trip to England will work. And the point that you're not understanding is that while I don't disagree with your logic, is that it's hard to understand how that is going to work in the context of the Caribbean.
Connecting the Caribbean, carrying cargo.
Are you prepared to give me a hearing and try to engage the point I am making? Right. Many days I set out from Barbados across the region, okay? And I go on the plane and I look around and I see who is next to me. And invariably, it is people who are traveling on business, okay? People talk about Liat, right? On weekends, Liat has good business from people who go in and spend a weekend with the family and whatnot, go and see the girlfriend, that kind of thing. But the bulk of the yachts, day-to-day transit, people going for medical attention, people going to do business in another Caribbean country, that is the people that you will find filling the planes. And the reality is that most days they are not filled. Sometimes they are half filled. Right? Now, my question is, are you going to say to those people, if you're saying we're going to provide a service for those people who are coming to Barbados for a visa, who are coming to get a medical test done, who are, like me, going to conduct some business in one of the other islands and come back, I will take away Liat and I will give you the option to travel to Dominica over the space of 8 hours instead of the space.
But there are other planes that people could use. I don't know why you feel that everybody is not going to use the boat. They ain't going to give a seat,
yeah,
Travis.
But if you are not saying that you are going to move the bulk of your travelers to that medium, then it's not going to be profitable. And then you're going to have a situation where you had to prop up Liat and you also had to prop up ferries.
But if you, listen, right now, we losing money, and especially Barbados.
In Liat.
Right. Liat, Barbados is losing money.
So let's compound the problem. Let's compound the problem by having a ferry for us to lose money on as well.
No, we were done with sell our shares in Liat.
And then how are we going to get to Dominica?
They got other plans. They got other companies.
Like who else is flying to Dominica?
You don't want to travel by boat.
But not sir, I don't want to. I'm saying to you that for the vast majority of business travelers, traveling by boat is not an option.
Look, they got air bridge to Tobago from Port of Spain.
Right, because it takes 10 minutes.
But everybody don't use the plane.
Sir, you cannot compare the two. To sail to Trinidad, it takes 5 hours. To fly to Trinidad, it takes 10 minutes. Okay? To Tobago. That air bridge is an entirely different scenario than the one we're talking about. Because when you try to link Barbados by boat, right, you're looking at an extended period of time. Dennis is telling me that to sail to Antigua, it takes me 4 days. To sail to Trinidad and Tobago, as far as I know, it's like 12 hours. Yeah? 15 hours? Yeah, 12 or 15 hours. And the reality is that once you're talking more than a day, for me to sit down on a boat for more than a day is too much time I'm losing from work.
What speed he's talking about?
Sorry?
What speed he's talking about?
Sir, even if it's a fast ferry, it still will be a limit to the speed it can travel.
But this is what it is.
You know the ferry that works well? You know the ferry that works well and the one I admire? The air bridge between, the link between St. Kitts and Nevis? That works well. It's a 20-minute boat ride. You get on the ferry, in 20 minutes you're there. They now have a water taxi service between St. Kitts and Nevis. Very enterprising young people. They bought fast boats, and they put music in them and comfortable chairs, and they get a rum and coke if you want. And you can get to Nevis, and some of them can get you over there in 7 or 8 minutes, right? Because the boats are fast. That system is working, but the reason that it works is because it is fast. So when I went down to Nevis to do the election, right, I got I chartered one of the same water taxis. When I was finished my election coverage, the guys brought me back over to St. Kitts the night. There was a taxi waiting for me at the dock. I went to the hotel, and I was able to get up and catch my plane at 7 o'clock in the morning. The challenge that we have is that when you move to the Caribbean in a wider way, and you look at linking Grenada, St. Lucia, Dominica, St. Kitts, Antigua, Trinidad and Tobago. You realize the challenge that you have. Don't even talk about the French islands. Because you need to have boats going twice daily to all of these different places. So you're looking at a series of boats that you have. And I don't know who's going to pay for all of them.
But we had boats linking the Caribbean.
Right, the Maple and the other thing.
Not only the Maple, we had other boats that linked the Caribbean.
And who used to sail on the Maple? Who used to sail on the Maple?
Passengers. They had people used to get on right. The Maple or the Palm and get off somewhere else.
Right.
Because all the
Boy Scouts and Girl Guides. All in the summer, Boy Scouts and Girl Guides filling up the Palm and the Maple, and they're going and travel. And that's fine because they have days to spend.
They had other people that used to travel from the Maple and the Palm. Yeah. And get off in different islands. We had the Lady Joy. They had them slow boats to do the Caribbean.
Lady who?
The passenger. You had the Lady Joy, the Christine C, okay. The Shirley Smith. They carry passengers and they also carry cargo.
And what happened to all of these boats?
We got proper, expensive, and good ferries that could do the same work and at a faster rate.
And at a higher cost. You know, sir, I'm gonna have to run, but let me just say to your credit, I heard the Prime Minister saying that this is something that she herself is interested in. I've had conversations with her directly in which she has been saying that she feels it can work. And I have been saying I cannot see how the maths will work because of the time, because of the cost of these ferries and what. Right. So you are in good company. You are in the company of two prime ministers on opposite sides of the fence. So that is good company to be in.
I'm Miss Martin in bad company with you.
No, as I said, sir, my thing is I'm not hostile to the idea. I just can't see how the numbers will work. You want to go or you want to stick around? Because we have to take a break.
I am gone.
Okay. All right, sir. Thanks for calling. We'll chat again. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. As I was chatting with Dennis in the break, I was reminded of this fast ferry that the Trinidad and Tobago government invested in the, I think it was around the year 2000. It was nicknamed the Vomit Comet. Because as it traversed the distance between the north coast of Trinidad and the south coast of Tobago, and it encountered rough seas, the vibrations were such that most of the people on the boat were either in buckets or over the side throwing up. You know, it's challenging, and I understand that it is something that seems logical. The problem is that the challenge that we have in relation to regional travel is a very, very peculiar one. And is a reality that I live, and I feel it, you know, important to explain to people who would have ideas of grandeur, delusions of grandeur, what the reality is likely to be. So for the time being, I think it's Liat that we stuck with. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning to you, Mr. Vickham.
Morning, sir. This is Patrick?
Yeah, of course it is.
How are you doing? But I just seen you online a few minutes ago.
Online?
Yeah, it's probably a recording. I thought it was recording.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I was holding on from the day before program started, trying to the day, because I heard your caller who spoke about having people going out in the field in December and they're doing the poll, and then you remember that caller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got two issues I want to speak there on, but I must get this off my chest first.
No, I want you to get off your chest because. Before you get to that, some people messaging me and sending me posts that you have made and asking if somebody vex you.
No, but nobody vex me. But I made the point on my Facebook page that the post that I put on my Facebook page are concerns expressed by individuals. I also made the point that 85% of them are supporters of the party, but I really don't want to discuss that on here because I feel strongly about I support you relative to effective communication. The government has took the initiative to deal with effective communication based on their direction and course relative to the economic bring back economic stability. But I believe that effective communication must now be the order of the day relative to a number of their supporters, and I will leave that there because I think you understand what I mean when I say that, because just simply because that there's a high level of expectation that needs to be quelled, and the government, the only way can get done is those persons who are charged with the responsibility to do so. But with the upcoming conference, I believe that all that will be dealt with. Right now, I want to move on to respond only to the caller who's talking about Bushel, right, and then I can go to my major point.
You know what Bushel?
He tried to give the impression that with all of this, with the retrenchment, he's trying to give the impression that Bushel will find, a lot of people find employment at Bushel. So I want to make the point. This morning, right? That the woman who Jesus met at the well, Peter, some 2,000 years ago, right? She wasn't retrenched from any job that she had. Neither was the woman who was caught in adultery. She wasn't retrenched either, Peter. Neither was Ruth, the prostitute, right, who hid the Israelite spies in the land of Canaan. Them had no job, that the laws that caused them to do the things that they do. The point I want to make this morning, Peter, right, that all of this activity was carried out by their own free will. So no retrenchment can't cause the boy to walk bushes. So, but this is the kind of laughing stock that you got coming to the
point. No, but and that's the reason why I'm laughing when, as you speak, because it's entertaining, you know.
Yeah,
the suggestion that this situation will drive people towards Bashir is what I find funny. That's why I asked if they're going out there to pay a light bill, because they got an office up there that is paying light bill.
It's foolishness. Yeah. The Prime Minister has made it clear. And I want to pause at this time to commend the government and its approach, Peter, to law and order in this country, right, with the incorporation of the members of the Defence Force alongside the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force in seeking to bring some level of law and order in this country. So all this talk about when people get laid off, they're going to be this high rate and crime and all kind of nonsense. The Prime Minister make it clear, not about here, right? And I can assure
you... on that, too.
I can assure you that systems are in place to ensure that don't happen. You understand? In this country, right? So this nonsense with high rates of crime, that's foolishness. And what the people of this country must do is to rally around the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force and any information that they have that they can give that would cause any apprehension for persons who are wanted for any particular crimes. They need to cooperate with the police and get the information. The police don't only wait until you are a victim, but also do so when you are in the know of any information that would assist the police greatly in executing any task for which they have that real crime is involved.
That's out of interest, though, Patrick. Do you think that the activity that takes place up at Bushill should be criminal? You notice my word, should be criminal?
Peter, the truth is, I can answer it twofold. We must remember, Peter, that persons came into this life with a choice, right? And one of the things that we must always bear in mind is that if a person chooses to go in that direction, and there comes a time where there's a high influx of these individuals, then what government should seek to do then is regulate it. But I don't know if they can criminalize somebody for making a decision that they want to make with their own bodies. I don't know. I don't know. So I'm saying that if that's the case, the government can get some revenue from it. I don't support it, but I'm saying is that if government can get some revenue from it, if they can't control it, then go the direction against the revenue and call it a dead races. That's my view, right? But I don't believe that it should obtain at all. But if it is, because it's the same thing with gambling, right?
You don't support gambling?
If gambling is one of the components by the introduction of any widespread casinos and it is going to benefit the country in any way, shape, form or fashion, absent from any serious crime and that type of thing. Fine, it's just like the thing that was introduced by Alan Chastner a few Caribbean countries have it, St. Kitts and Nevis have it, citizen by investment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I welcome all these things on board because that they will bring money into the coffers of the country once the person
you open a hornet's nest there.
No, but once the persons are properly scrutinized and you understand, you set your rules and programs in place for those persons who want to come, and once they are vetted properly and they got some money to spend, they welcome the people on our shores. I don't understand why we Barbados went all over the world, earn a living, do work, anything, buy properties all over the world. Why nobody can't come in Barbados and buy a property and decide that they want to settle here? I don't have an issue with it. Right? Once the persons are properly vetted. Right? That's my thing. Now, I won't go now to the retrenchment in the public service, because I heard the General Secretary of the National Union of Public Workers, Robinson Smith, made some commentary yesterday coming out of a meeting, and she sought to identify ministries where she said will be affected by the retrenchment program, and she made the point that mainly women will be affected by this. Mm-hmm. But here's the irony in this. Here's the irony, because this score must be settled, right? And they come this morning to settle it in the event that it went over Roger Smith's head, right? She said the Ministry of Transport, Works and Maintenance, Barbados Postal Service, the School Needs Department, Security Guards, Clerk Typist, and the
School Meals Workers are mentioned too?
Yeah, School Meals Workers were mentioned. And stenotypist.
Stenotypist, right.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right? She said this was information from the civil service. Now, Peter, have you break down, and you're an analyst, have you break down the ministries which I have just referred? You will realize, Peter, that a number of these ministries which she have identified are fraught with a lot of female workers in them, Peter. So if there's
yeah,
a...
Yeah, but Pastor, you can't use the word fraught.
The
word fraud is a negative connotation. Just say that they are filled with a lot of female workers.
But the definition of fraud is filled. But
no, no, fraud is a negative. But,
no,
yeah.
No, but all right, that's fine. Everyone, but the point of one.
So you're saying that invariably in the public service, the women are in the more useless positions. Is that what you're saying?
No. They are filling a lot more positions in the civil service than men.
Yeah.
They're filling, for instance, teaching service. You don't have a lot of male teachers, no, but you've got a lot of female teachers. So I'm saying any retrenchment program.
It will hit the women hard.
No.
It's true, it will hit the women harder in teaching because most of the teachers are women.
Precisely. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that if you go individually in the different ministries which she have outlined, the point I'm making is that if you have more women in this system and in the public service, and any retrenchment program is being undertaken, then who do you believe will be affected most, Peter? It can't be men. If you've got more women than men.
The fact of the matter is that I never work in government, but I know in the university, it's only recently I started hearing about steno clerks that were male. But historically has always been it's like the senior sister at the QEH, you know, invariably is always a woman. There are a few men now. But those posts were dominated by women largely, so as a result, it was women that would be laid off. In all of this conversation, though, Patrick, one of the things I have not heard is the deputy permanent secretary, which ironically, a lot of them are women too, because a lot of the PSs are also women. But the deputy PS is one of those anachronistic posts that I have not heard reference to. And I think that that is as useless as the steno clerk and the messenger driver. And I think that we should also mention the deputy PS in there too. Because I am at a loss to understand what useful purpose a deputy permanent secretary serves in a ministry.
I'm with you on that. But Peter, yeah. No, the time is now right. This is the conversation.
All of them need to be included too.
This is the conversation I want to have with you this morning. The time is now right, Peter. Because the dynamics of this world has changed. Don't let anybody fool you. I think going forward, Peter, what needs to obtain in this country is that employment should be had on a contractual arrangement business going forward. In other words, Peter, this whole issue of being appointed, you know, a lot of people certainly don't want to hear this, this whole nonsense of people appointed to post
appointment or contract.
I believe, Peter, that the time has come. The time has come. Right? Because some people were asked in some quarters as to how this and how the next. I can answer all the questions. This is my take on it, Peter. That once you go in the direction, because the private sector, mind you, is in the business of employing people on a contractual arrangement thing. So don't let me get tired. The point I'm making, Peter, is that once we go the route of employment contractual arrangement, what the government can do is then have an independent body, right, which is free from political interference. The purpose and role of that independent body will be to appraise each ministry by ministry as contracts fall due for renewal. And the renewal of these contracts should be predicated on the performance of each and every individual holding a contract. The point that you're making, Peter, is that if we had such a system in place and a retrenchment exercise was now upon us, we wouldn't have no problem because that the individual body that set up to appraise those ministries will be able to tell you who's performing and who's performing. So you won't go DVD last and first, because who is not performing will be sure to go, and who's performing will hold on to the job. Yeah. But it's a discussion that we're going to have going forward.
Patrick, I am in full agreement with you. My thing is that the security of tenure that public servants enjoy is impractical, is unrealistic, and it is not in keeping with the times. But you see, I can say that because I've never enjoyed it. For some reason, a person who works as a stenographer clerk in government feels that they need to have that security of tenure. And if I say that they shouldn't, they feel offended. So I do agree with you that I think we need to go in the direction of having permanent secretaries who are on contract for 3 years and their contracts are renewed based on performance. And I feel that should be a scheme across the public service. Look at what's happened in the Ministry of Health with the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. That was the biggest, one of the largest public sector entities in Barbados. And under Jerome Walker, his distinguished leadership, that was converted into a statutory corporation, and it is run in a far more efficient way. So if you have a person in there who pushing trolleys and drunk, you can fire that person while you could not before. If you have a person who is constantly falling down on the job, not falling down in a physical way, but just not working and not living up, you can bring that person to check. So all I hope is that when all of this restructuring is finished, we start having processes. And as I said, it's not only about the messenger driver and the clerical officer. It's also about the deputy permanent secretary.
Of course.
It's also about the permanent secretary that needs to be on contract. And all of these officers that you have, these technical officers, why not put them on contract? Because if they work for anybody else, they'll be on contract the same way.
But that is precisely the point that I'm making. So the fear that is exercised by some of these individuals holding on to these jobs is one that leave me delusional, because I don't understand for the life of me why they believe that they must have a job forever and ever, amen, to something called an appointment. Yeah. You're appointed to a post and nobody can move you. And Peter, trust me, all of the problems experienced are by same individuals who, regardless of who government come into office, the most you can do is transfer them from one department to the next. But they're not productive, and there's not any blatant attack on the public service. But the reality must be told. The truth must be told. And the reality is that if we want to stamp out, as a serious government going forward, we want to highlight and make, put at the top of the list, productivity. We have to find mechanisms and ways to ensure that it happens. Mm-hmm. How do you explain of some person turn up for work at 9:30 with an 8:30 arrangement to be on the job, and then get drink coffee for half hour, go to lunch for 2 hours, and then come back and expect to go home at 4?
You forget the most important thing: to go read the newspaper and listen to Brass Talks.
So
when you finish all of that, well, you only can have between Brass Talks, finish at 1:30. Hopefully you'll finish reading newspaper before 10 o'clock when it starts. So then you would really only start work proper at 1:30, and then you go and eat lunch.
So the point that I'm making, Peter, is that when you have an independent body free of political interference, who now will come in and appraise ministry by ministry? You understand? Those persons holding on the contracts will know that once that they are not performing, the where act will be read to them. So if you got a mortgage and you got car loans and you got credit card payments and you got all these things, then you will fall in line. We are not going to get it right, Peter, in this current system and environment. We must move away from these things. This we're called the, because we still under the colonial rule as it relates to the a lot of our legislation. We need to move away from this nonsense, Peter.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, Chris, a few years ago, Chris Sinclair said that a recession is a horrible thing to waste, and I hope that rings true in this current environment, that we don't waste this recession. I find ourselves in a situation where 10 years, we'll be back in the same nonsense again. We ought to make some fundamental changes to the way that we do business. And Patrick, you and I are in 100% agreement on that. Final word from you, then we're going to run.
I want to encourage the government to remain steadfast. Don't get concerned and distracted by the naysayers. The only thing I would say to the Prime Minister, if I had a very close ear there, would be that when she's about to carry out the exercise of the retrenchment program, I will, because I believe it's a political strategy that she should employ. Beware. I would explain and apologize, simply because you recall that on the campaign trail, the Democratic Labour Party, led by Fergus Stewart, was accused of retrenching workers, even though that they said they would not have done it, they did so. What is now currently happening, even though it is no fault of the Prime Minister, that all she's doing is seeking to correct a problem that she came in from, I would have still made an apology to those persons, You understand me? Who will suffer the consequences of any fallout relative to the retrenchment? I believe that going forward, that's the only thing. But she needs to just remain focused and do what you got to do to get the country back on track.
All right, Patrick. Thanks a lot for
welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks 4341790. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, ma'am.
I have a concern here.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an establishment to buy, or rather, I phoned and ordered 10 pounds of kingfish.
Mm-hmm.
When the fish came, it was 7 pounds. I called the office this morning, and the lady told me that it will have to be that because of wastage. Sir, I can't believe that the skin offers 10 pounds of fish. But first thing when they got it was supposed to be 10 pounds because it said that the less is 10 pounds. It was 10 and a half on the bike, marked 10 and a half. I can't believe that skin off of fish could be 3.5 pounds. And it's hard.
But, ma'am, you bought it from the organization voluntarily?
I called and I ordered it, and when it came home and I weighed it, it was 7 pounds.
You took the appropriate measures when you were buying it to ensure that you got what you paid for?
I ordered it and it came home by the establishment truck.
Well, I think that you have an issue that you need to take up with the establishment because, or alternatively, you need to find a new establishment.
They're telling me that is the spoiler. So that means that everybody that go there then, 3.5 pounds, even if it was half pound in what they're taking off the thing, but 3.5 pounds, and I pay for, I get 7, but paying for 10 and a half.
Ma'am, I appreciate that you've been hard done, and I'm saying that it's not something that I would want to support. It's unfortunate that this has been done to you, and I think that there have to be ways and means you can have your matter resolved. But I don't know that this is a public interest issue. You have a challenge with that supplier, and it's something that you have to take up personally.
Mr. Wickham, I noticed that you go in places now and $30 and $20 and things. Putting on things that
would you like me to refer you to my fish vendor? I have a fish vendor in the Bridgetown market, and I can assure you that will not happen. So if you want, I can give you her number.
Right, you give me the number.
Okay.
Cannot carry weight, and that is why that I call the person to send it for me.
You can probably have an arrangement with someone that could have it delivered, and I don't think it's a problem. I mean, I'm not in the business of advertising for anyone, but I'm saying that in these days, these times, there are enough people.
It's hard, and I don't work. I get
right, ma'am, and I understand that. And I'm saying there are enough people out there who are vying for your business that you don't have to have that problem.
Trying to go the wholesale way where I could get things reasonable, but not that way. Everybody, that's what you see that we in this predicament now because everybody trying to exploit each other.
And I agree, it should not happen. I think that you need to have the issue resolved with the person that sold you, and I also believe that you need to consider getting a new agent from whom you should purchase fish. And they said I have a lady right there in the market in Bridgetown that you could talk to right down
give
by,
me the name.
By the Pelican. I can't call your name on radio; that'd be advertising.
Thank you.
All right, Bob. Thanks a lot for calling. All you do is you go down there and you ask who is the person that's dealing with Peter Wickham. And I'm sure that she will identify herself. She's a very vocal lady, also very well known. Runs a charity operation that feeds young people, and it's an excellent program where she provides meals and breakfast and things like that for less fortunate kids. So she has a good heart.